Get that, do we? And we say, this is my Bible.
I am who it says I am.
And I have what it says I have.
And I can do what it says I can do.
Today I will be taught the Word of God.
I boldly confess.
My mind is open.
My heart is alert
to receive the indestructible,
incorruptible,
everlasting,
ever-living
seed
of the Word of God.
It will touch my heart,
and it will change me.
I will never be the same.
In Jesus' name.
Never, never, never.
Amen. All right. Now we're ready.
Okay.
1 Chronicles chapter 4 verse 10. We probably know this by heart by now, don't we? And that would be a good thing to commit to memory. You know, this particular scripture if you're not already remembering it. Jabez called on the Lord of Israel saying. And you know, your name could be right in there. You know, Mary called on the Lord, you know. Margie called on the Lord. Katie called on the Lord. And we say, oh, Lord, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Amen. Okay, so today, this morning, we're going to be taking that fourth request, that fourth intercession of Jabez, that you would keep me from evil. That you, Lord, would keep me from evil. So we know, don't we, that there is evil. That there is evil in the world. We know that. Don't we know that? Okay. But we also know that the Lord tells us that he will provide. He will provide for all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. We know that, don't we? Am I hearing amen? Amen.
All right. So while we know that there is evil in the world, and while we see evidence of that in the natural, and we see evidence of that in spiritual situations, and people who are oppressed and all spiritually, we also know that the Lord promises to supply for all of our needs. So our need, one of our needs is that we be protected from evil, that we be delivered from evil. The evil will be there. The evil will be there until the Lord comes again. However, as his sons and daughters, as those men and women who have made a covenant with him, we know of our covenant blessings. We heard of that yesterday. We heard what he wants to do with our life. We heard of his hand of authority, his hand of might that is upon us. We heard last night, you know, through the Eucharist, how he had a fresh deposit of himself. He was pouring out a fresh deposit of himself within us. And how whatever it is in our life, whatever it was in our life, you know, nothing is hidden from him. Scripture tells us that all lies bare and exposed to him. So even those things that we're not able to face ourselves, he knows, he sees, he touches, and he heals and makes whole. So certainly, he would want to protect us from the evil forces that are both seen and unseen, those powers and principalities that are not of this world, but are still in the world. Just as you would want to protect, and I'm sure do and have, protected the people you love from harm as best you could, protected your children, taught them how to protect themselves, taught them who they were, gave them a sense of well-being, a sense of confidence to the best that you were able to do, you know, and taught them, you know, things as simple as how to cross the street, how to look both ways, You know, how not to play with things that will harm them, how not to play with guns or knives or things of that sort. And then we teach them how to protect themselves from those things that hurt them interiorly, those children who say those nasty things about them, who try to write a negative message on the slate of their life while we're trying to write all positive messages. You know, and yet, as parents with authority, you know, we have the final say, and our say, you know, to our children has always means more in their, particularly in their formative years, you know, than what anybody else is saying. Isn't that true? You know, they can come home crying and upset about so-and-so said such and such. But when we sit down and talk to them about that, you know, we can make that better. Now, of course, as they get older, things happen, and it's not so easy to make them those things better. But with our God, with our Father, you know, He is always there with us, and He can always make it better. So what He wants to do, we believe, this morning, is to teach us, you know, how we can protect ourselves. First of all, you need to know that you have authority, that you're not just moving through this world, you know, and then the enemy, the evil one, the evil sources, the evil spirits in the world can just take over and do whatever they want with you. You are a son or a daughter of God. You have an inheritance. We heard that yesterday, didn't we, regarding the Abrahamic blessings and the covenant blessings, all that we have. You know, how He comes to us, you know, as our Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides for all of our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. We see that in the Old Testament with the Old Covenant. We see that in the New Testament, in the scripture from Philippians. We know He comes to us as Jehovah Shalom, the God of all peace, and brings us peace in the midst of a world of turmoil, in the midst of perhaps your heart being, you know, ill at ease and in turmoil. He brings that peace. He stands in the boat of your life, holds out that hand of authority that we heard about in the homily, and speaks peace and speaks rest to your soul, to your emotions, you know, to your being. That's who He is for us and to us. You know, He is our Savior, our Deliverer. You know, He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who takes our bitter experiences and makes them sweet. That's the healing part of Him, the healing part of His heart, the healing part of His character, you know, where He can take whatever bitter experience, whether it be in your body with a physical infirmity, He can take that bitter experience and heal it, whether it be a memory from your past that is still very much alive to you and hurtful to you and determines the way you live and move and think and relate to others today. He can take that bitter memory and make it sweet and transform it. You know, that's who He is to us. So why wouldn't we think that He also has a way of protecting us from all evil, of raising our consciousness of the devil's plan for our life, as well as our having an assurance of His plan? And the prophet Jeremiah tells us, you know, the Lord speaks to us through Jeremiah when He says, I have a plan for you, and it's a plan for your welfare, not for your woe. Another word for woe would be not for your harm, not for your evil, not for your despair, not for sadness for you. But I have a plan to give you a future full of hope. Hope means promise. You know, everything positive, hope, promise, delight, all that He has for us, all of His provision for us. And then He goes on to say, when you call to Me, when you look for Me. So when we go to Him in prayer, when we may feel isolated, when we may feel alone, when we may feel lonely, because we need to remember we're never alone. That doesn't mean we're not ever going to feel lonely. There are going to be times where we feel lonely, but we're never alone because He dwells within us, and greater is He who is in us than he that is in the world. So the scripture through Jeremiah goes on to say, when you call to Me, when you look for Me, you will find me with you. Why? Because he's in us. He's within us. He is the greater one within us. And he says, and I will change your lot, meaning I will change your situation. I will change your difficulty. Because he's a transforming God, isn't he? He transforms. He transforms evil into good. He transforms darkness into light. He takes that which is bitter and makes it better, doesn't he? And so we need, first off, to know that. If you have any doubt of who you are in the Lord, it's going to be very difficult to act with authority when evil and darkness comes at you, because you will feel as though you have nothing to fall back on. Your self-image, how you see yourself, is so very important. So very important. And most of us, you know, the Jesuits have always taught this. Many psychologists, psychiatrists of the world have now agreed on that a child is formed in the first 5 years of their life. And in that first 5 years, internally they're formed, as far as emotionally, as far as their psyche is concerned. And it's like, I'm sure you've played with Play-Doh or Silly Putty with your kids, and you know how you can put that in your hand, and you can shape it whichever way you want, very easily. You know, it's so pliable in your hand, and you can shape it into something positive, or you can shape it into something negative. That's what happened to us the first 5 years of our life. To whatever degree your folks were able to shape you in a positive, self-confident way with a healthy self-image, that's where you find yourself today. To whatever degree, because of their pain, and it isn't that this is done deliberately, it isn't that we're talking about uncaring or cruel or nasty people, but you know, you can only give what you've received. And so, if people in our formative years had not been given a lot of love, had not been raised with a sense of their own worth and dignity and confidence, then it would be impossible to give that then to their offspring. So that's why, you know, we often have problems. That's why when we hear the word broken open that says, you know, this is who you are, and this is what the Lord has for you, and this is what you can do, and you have authority. You don't just roll over and play dead when the enemies in your life come at you. You stand up knowing who you are, because you have authority. Now, when you drive down the street and you come to an intersection and there's a policeman standing there and they hold their hand up for you to stop, we stop, don't we? Because we see that this man, this policeman, has authority. He doesn't have authority because his name is John Smith. He doesn't have authority because he may live in Glen Burnie. He doesn't have authority because of anything that he's done. He has authority because of his place. He has authority because of who he is standing in the name of. He is standing in the name of Anne Arundel County or Baltimore City or Baltimore County, and all of the laws and all of the benefits that come along with that are his in that particular time and place and in that role. He has authority because of who he is, right? So do we have authority. We have authority not because we may feel like we're the strongest people in the world or the strongest Christian. We have authority not because, well, we can quote the scriptures chapter and verse, you know, and really impress people with this, and so therefore we have authority. We have authority not because we really love to worship the Lord and we yield our hearts to the charisms of the Holy Spirit. You know, we have authority not because only because we've made Jesus the center of our life. We have authority because he is the center, irregardless of what we have done, and because we are his sons and his daughters, and he is our Father. And so he gives us authority. Now, what does authority mean? In the Webster Dictionary, authority means power. Pardon me. It means the right to command. Authority means to have dominion over. Authority means the ability to take control. So that means when we talk about you having authority. You have authority because you're a believer. That's why you have authority. Because you have a believer. Because you are a believer. Not what's happened before, not what's going to happen tomorrow, not how you were formed. Now the formation, you know, as you were being developed, as you developed, you know, in your home life those first 5 years, and these are kind of things we'll be talking more about, like in the school for spiritual direction that Father Dale spoke of. But those issues we carry with us into our adult life. And I mention those only to give you some insight as to why you may have difficulty seeing yourself as a person in authority. So if you do, you know, that is the why. And that's the area you want to ask the Lord. Lord, transform. Lord, heal. You know, just as we did last night. Remember, the nightmare is over. Remember that word the Lord brought to us? Remember those areas that have been forsaken and abandoned? The Lord has seen and touched and healed, whether you feel like it or not, whether you feel any different or not. In faith, we believe that, and so in faith, we act and move as if that's true, right? We all have. None of us have been raised perfectly. None of us have been raised by perfect parents. None of us are perfect parents. As much as we try, as much as we love our children, as much as we try to bring the principles of the scriptural principles and so forth into their life, because we're not perfect, we can't raise them perfect. Now, this isn't to berate ourselves. This isn't to have, there is no guilt in this or condemnation in this. It's just to say, these are the facts. This is why it's difficult for us. Okay, we know that. We look at that. We ask the Lord to transform that. And then we walk in faith, believing that because the Lord says it, it's true. And the wonderful thing about knowing the Lord in this way, as you're raising your children, those of you who still have young children, you know, you're able then to pray for them. You're able to know, yes, I'm not perfect, so I'm making mistakes. I may not be making the same mistakes, and usually that's what happens. We don't make the same mistakes our parents made because we're so aware of them. And we make inner vows, and we say, I'll never do that. I'll never do that, because we know how that feels. But while we're so busy never doing that, oftentimes we're doing something else. And that's human nature. And the Lord knows that. And the Lord loves us in the midst of all of that. And the only reason we need to know that and admit to that is because those things we don't face, we can't change. You know, if you never face up to something, you'll never change it. If you never admit that, oh yeah, that's true, you'll never change it. So you get stuck in that rut. You know, denial is a very powerful force. Yeah. And you, I know you've all heard the old thing, denial is not just a river in Egypt. And we know it isn't. Denial is a positive emotion and force that we tend to use. And the Lord doesn't want that. The Lord brings light. You know, denial is not light. The Lord brings light. He is that God of light. We talked about that yesterday. But, you know, remember the Olympic opening? The child of light, looking for the light. And the fire and all that we talked about here yesterday morning. So we need to not keep things in the dark and in denial, to say, yes, that's right. And it's hard for me to stand up against the forces of darkness in my life, because I feel weak, because I feel I'm going to be put down, because I feel I'm not going to win, because I just don't think I can do it. You know, and so that's why we need to, well, why do you think you can't do it? And each one of us, when we look inside, we know. And the Lord knows. So we ask the Lord to touch that. And then we act as if we believe we have it. Remember, that's faith. As we act in faith, believing in those things we have not yet seen, the feeling will follow. If we wait for the feeling to come, we'll never do it. It's not about feelings. It's about faith. It's about fact. So that means that you have a right to command. That you have a right to take dominion over the evil in your life. That you have power over it. And that you can take control. Now, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 speaks to us of the whole armor of God. Now, this is very important because it's the clothing that the Lord gives us to protect us from the enemy. Just as you would put particular clothing on your children if they were going out to play in the snow. You wouldn't let them go out in shorts and a t-shirt. You would give them clothing that would protect them from the weather, that would keep them warm, that would keep them from frostbite, that would be appropriate, you know, for what they were going out into. Now, each and every day we go out into the world, and in the world there is darkness, and in the world there is evil. There is a spiritual realm. You know, we tend to not see with spiritual eyes when we go off to work each day, or when we have a day off and we're home. You know, we tend more so in areas and arenas like this, we think spiritually. But more often than not, we leave that, you know, at the church, or we leave that on the retreat, or we leave that at the prayer meeting, or whatever it is. But, you know, it doesn't leave us. The spiritual realm is alive and well for the good and for the bad, and we need to know that. So you need each day to see yourself as going out into the spiritual realm. Just as you would prepare your kids to go out and play in the snow, you would make sure, you know, that they had waterproof pants, and you would make sure they had heavy mittens or gloves and a hat and all of those things they would need to protect themselves from the elements. The Lord gave us the scripture so that we do the same thing, that we have what we need to protect ourselves from the evil forces, from the enemies, from regions below. Now, we need to clothe ourselves. He's not going to do it for us. He always gives us a free choice and freedom of will. So it's up to you whether you clothe yourself each day for the spiritual realm. So this is how you say, well, how do we do that? This is how we do it. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So that's saying, finally, brothers and sisters, finally, children of God, you know, after you've given your heart to the Lord, after, you know, you know who you are in him, you are his brethren, that means you're close, you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, that's who you are. So finally, now, you're getting ready to go out there. You're getting ready to go out into the world. Remember, we're in the world, we're not of the world. So being not of the world means we clothe ourselves and we dress ourselves, knowing we are spiritual beings. Knowing these are the things that have eternal consequences, knowing the other is transitory and is passing away, even as we speak. So it's saying, finally, so this is the last thing you do before you go out there. Be strong in the Lord. Know you have authority. Know that you can take command. Know that you can take control. Know that you have a strength through the Lord. You have a strength in him. In your weakness, you will find his strength. When you are obedient and follow the steps that he's given us, you will find his strength. You know, as you, strength builds up. You know, the scripture tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. When we praised him this morning, wasn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? Just to take that time, and aren't they anointed songs? I just think they're just so beautiful. You know, and don't you feel closer to the Lord? Don't you feel that anointing, you know, that you feel like you could just reach out and touch, you know? Don't you feel that, you know? And, you know, it's the anointing, but the Bible says, that breaks the yoke. So when we go into times of worship such as that, you know, whatever we're yoked to that's of darkness, whatever we're yoked to, you know, meaning tied to, bound to, that's not of him, and we can ask him, break that as you're praising, you know. Just be praising the Lord. Lord, you know, in your mind, be saying, Lord, break me. Break that. Break that yoke. You know, set me free of that which I'm bound to that's causing whatever. Sadness, depression, you know, illness, problems in relationship and so forth. You know, I do so much of my praying, you know, that way. As we were praising this morning, you know, I prayed for my son, Sean, who is an attorney in New York, and I was praying for him as I was praising the Lord, as I was praying in tongues, you know, I prayed for Michael and Carrie, who are expecting their second child. You know, I prayed for my husband, who's having problems on the job. You know, as you praise him, because you're praising him, it's not all about, Lord, gimme, gimme, have you got? You know, you're praising him, you're worshiping him, but as you're doing that, you know, these people come to your mind, just raise them up before the Lord. You know, Lord, help them, Lord, you know, have that baby form just as you want it to be in Carrie's womb. Lord, you know, lead Sean to the person you want him to build his life with. You know, as you're praising him, you know, it's a wonderful way to intercede. And then you come away, you know, feeling this strength of the Lord and knowing that anointing, realizing that anointing and knowing the power of his might. We heard about that through the prophecies and so forth this morning about how powerful, how all-consuming, you know, how it'll never run out. It's always there for us. So it goes on to say, put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So there is a devil. There is an evil spirit. There is a devil. This isn't a cartoon-type character that's all red and runs around with a pitchfork and a long tail. You know, there is evil spirits in the world, just as we know, you know, that the Lord sends forth, you know, ministering servants, his angels, you know, in the spiritual realm to protect us and to guard us, and that he assigns angels to stand over us, you know. Just as there is the good, there's also the evil or the bad. We see it right here in the Bible. To deny that and to say, oh, that's just a super spiritual way of thinking is a big mistake, because the evil's going to be there. The darkness will come at you whether you believe it or not. So it's much better for us to believe it, but not to believe it in the sense that we're going to be in fear. That's not the purpose. The Lord wants us to know this. It's so that we do what he's giving us to do, so that we're victorious, so that we can take communion, so that we know we have authority, so that we know we have power over the evil forces, so that we know we have the greater one, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That's right. So when you go out into the world, you know, you do everything you can. You clothe yourself in the armor, but you know you have the greater one. So whatever you're going to face that day, whatever, you know, enemy negative force is going to come at you, you have the greater one within you. So we put on that armor so we'll be able to stand. To stand. To stand means to stand in faith. To stand scripturally means that we stand firm. I will not be budged. I will not be moved by what I believe. I will not be moved by what I think just because of what's going on around me. That's what it means to stand. You know, there's a scripture in Timothy that says, once you've done everything you can do to stand, stand. In other words, once you've done everything, you know, in order to be able to stand, then what you do, because sometimes people say, well, I've done this, I've prayed, I've been prayed over, I've had intercessory prayer. What else? It's not working. What else can I do? And the Bible says, then you stand. You stand firm, saying, I will not be budged. I will not be moved. I will not, in other words, we will not doubt. We won't move into doubt and unbelief, but we will believe what the Lord's word said is true, and it will come into fruition. Sometimes not as quickly as we would like, sometimes in the moment because we want it yesterday, when something comes up that we're interceding for. However, it will come. So that we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil is subtle. Oftentimes, it takes us a little bit of time to recognize it. You know, he doesn't come forth and say, well, here's the devil today, and that's just what I'm going to do for you, or this is what I'm going to do to you. No, it comes very subtly. You know, he can use negative statements by people you work with. Doesn't mean that the people you work with are evil people, but they can say, they can be very negative people, negative forces in your life, and then the enemy can use that. Do you understand the difference? He can use that then to plant, you know, seeds of depression, fear, doubt, you know, in your own mind. He's very subtle, you know, in his attack. So it goes on to say in verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So we're not wrestling against people like ourselves. Now, there are people of flesh and blood who are given over, who are given over to the devil, who are given over to the side of darkness, just as we are given over to the Holy Spirit, just as we are given over, you know, to the kingdom of light. There are people who have made choices against that. So we know that, and we know that that's out there. So there are times when the enemy comes at us through people who are given over, you know, who are given over to darkness. And we need to pray for discernment regarding that. You know, ask the Lord, give me discernment of spirits so that I will know, you know, I'll have wisdom with what I'm dealing with. But irregardless of that, we don't need to go through a long checklist, and we don't need to figure out and know the whole story before we do what we need to do. What we need to do is whether the enemy is using that person or whether that person is someone who has, unfortunately, given themselves over to the kingdom of darkness. And we know we hear a lot of that today. What we do is the same either way. What we do is, first of all, know who you are. You have authority, you have power, you have control. You're like that policeman holding up your hand, you know, when you do this. That's